you guys here with us this morning, and so thankful that you guys are in the house today. And we are so thankful about launching this new sermon series, and we believe that God has put all this together. We're going to dive into stuff, and we're going to deal. Matter of fact, of all the years that I've been preaching and all the years that I've been doing this, I don't know that I've ever done a series that's going to be more interesting and more controversial than what I'm going to share with you guys in the next 5 weeks. What God is speaking into our hearts, speaking into our lives, to give us His message and His answers for you and I today, I believe is just paramount to the age and the time that we live in. It is incredible of how crazy God is about you guys to speak these truths into your personal lives. And so I'm just asking to be committed to being here. Some of the most practical things that we've ever shared are going to come to you about your relationships. Matter of fact, it's going to get so heavy that I'm not going to do this series all alone. I'm going to bring in some backup. So Andrew's going to talk to you guys about some subjects. We're on the Mother's Day. We're going to be sharing on parenting. And we're going to bring in the First Lady, all right? She's going to be here, and so I'm going to share with her that day, but she's going to talk from being a mom, a wife, and those kind of issues. So we're just going to bring in a full team to share with you guys today. We're going to talk about issues like parenting, marriage. We're going to hit dating. Matter of fact, let me just pause here. And we've had a shift. I know the schedules went out and all that, but we follow the Holy Spirit. And so one of the things that we're going to shift next Sunday, we're going to move what was going to be scheduled for May to next Sunday. I'm going to share with you guys the rest of this message. You're going to hear more about that in just a second, but I'm not going to finish this one today. I'm going to do a part two with the start of this one. But next Sunday, I'm going to connect friendships and dating. A lot of times, we have so many singles that come to our church, and any of you that are parents of teenagers, college-age students, or grandparents, anybody that's single, you need to get them here next week. We're going to talk to you guys about dating, what it looks like, subjects that churches never talk about. We're going to go there, and we're going to tie in friendships to your dating and how that impacts one another. The rest of this sermon will be next week as well, and so I need you to get those group of people. They get left out a lot of times in church world. I want them to know that they're important here, and we're going to share with you guys things for their lives as well. And yeah, we're even going to discuss about gender identity issues, what our kids are facing, instead of the church of old sticking its head in the sand and pretending these things didn't exist. We're going to tell you what God says, and we're going to give you help, and we're going to give you hope, and we're going to show you what God wants to do in your heart, in your lives, in these days. Don't you love being in a church that believes Jesus is relevant to the generation that we live in today? And that's who we are at Connect Church. Well, so our sermon series is Relationship Codes, Unlocking the Secrets of Healthy Relationships. And by now, and so I wanted to get you guys involved in this and mentally, and so use your imagination with me this morning, that you realize that we love watching movies. One of the most popular movie series over the years in American culture is that we love unlocking secrets. You think way back in the day, my day, remember Indiana Jones came out, and man, he went through the caves, and he went through all of, they fought the Nazis and snakes. Still have nightmares about those snakes. And anyway, and you remember that he would get to and find the Holy Grail and unlock the secret. And then a little bit more modern was, who was it? What's the guy? Nicholas Cage in, what is the movie series? National Treasure. Thank you. So we got some movie people here. All right. Anyway, good deal. And helped the preacher out. And so National Treasure became, you know, box office money, and discovered all those things. I love those series as well. And then any of you guys watch more recently in the mystery genre of movies? Anybody watch The Da Vinci Code? Any of you guys? So, all right, we've got a few weird folks. All right, anyway, no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, I'm just kidding, that you like those kind of movies and all that. Speaking of weird, how many of you all still watch Survival Island now has Unlocking the Secret of How to Stay? How many of you are all still watching Survival Island? All right, get out. All right, but anyway, no, just kidding. The truth is that we like, you know, mysteries, these kind of things. We like watching those kind of shows. And if I haven't got you to relate to this idea of unlocking secret codes, let me hit to the one that really hits close to home for me. When I was in high school, you know, in high school, you struggle with peer pressure, puberty, you know, kids making fun of you in the locker room and all that stuff. Man, that didn't bother me. I was this tall in high school already, so, you know, I was in eighth grade, I was this tall, and so, and a basketball legend. But anyway, high school wasn't a big thing for all of that stuff. But you know what drove me literally to just in my nth insanity in high school was the lock on my locker. And if you remember growing back in the day, we had they came out with this stupid idea that they would design a lock that would have a secret code. And you would turn it 27 notches to the right, but it never clicked. I couldn't hear it. I got giant hands, you know. And then you go back 48 steps to the left. What does that even mean? And then back again, and back again, and back again. So every day at my locker at Waltonville High School, I'm going click, 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 click. Nothing's happening. And I go, and nothing happens. And so you all know I'm patient. I'm very long-suffering. People I get along with, I do great. But in and out, that word, stuff that's mechanical, I'm not the best at. So you know what I did every day? I took my fist and I went through a locker and I pounded that locker because I'm sitting there shaking. I just want to get my book. And so I finally figured out, Kevin, how to solve the problem. I called Belen. We dated in high school. And she would say these words that still reverberate through my brain to this very day because she says it every day of my life. Calm down. You can just hear her now. She says it a little more gruffer. Calm down. All right, but anyway, she would say, calm down. Calm down. It's going to be okay. And she would do her little magical thing. And so I said, give me the lock. And so she did, and I chunked it in a trash can. Who cares if they steal your books anyway? Can I get a witness? All right, so that was my, you know, unlocking the code. Well, I know that we've got a certain segment of our, and if you haven't told by now, I'm very sarcastic. So I know that we've got a certain amount of percentage of our people that you have no imagination, and you haven't related any of these stories. So for those of you that can't think outside the box, here's a picture of unlocking codes. I want you to get this down. And so in this picture, this is what we're talking to you about, unlocking the secrets of healthy relationships. In this code box, you'll get the idea that you have to put the dials and move them around, and you got to get certain letters all put together, and eventually you figure out the complicated code. And why do you go through all of this? We lock stuff up that is very valuable. The treasures, they'll be a blessing to us. And so in this sermon series, I hope you're there with me now, in your minds and you're imagining with us, we're going to help you find His treasure. We want to discover how His ways work in our lives. We're going to unpack what the Bible has to say about all of these relationships. Now, hear me this morning. Let me identify. You are already following a code in your life. The world has a code about all of the subjects that I already talked to you guys about. Every one of those has a code that you're following. Or today, I want to encourage you that God, in His Word, Bobby, is still true. And we're going to unlock what God has to say about all of our relationships that we encounter in this life. And so what we're going to do is help you guys figure out what God, His ways, and unpack His treasures. Because you see, the long-term, hear me this morning, here's the warning, the long-term impact of you listening to the world's codes, or maybe even your own personality codes, versus God's codes can be extremely detrimental to you, your family, and everybody else around you. So you're dealing with issues like, and this is important, how do I handle the changing environment that we live in? Would you not agree that we live in a day and a time when relationships and confusion have accelerated. It is crazy growing up as a young adult in this world today. It is nuts to try and parent and navigate all of the junk that is out there in the world today. I believe personally that COVID has just accelerated the complexity of our lives, and so we are in a quandary of trying to figure out what are we supposed to do with all of the changing stuff around us in our relationships. Stuff like online dating. Do I swipe left or do I swipe right? The fact is, why do I continue to argue with my spouse? Why do we not even speak in our home because we're coming home at night and we're either binge watching our favorite shows or we're on our phones and social media? We don't know how to talk to one another. Honestly, and this is where we're going to hit next week, I don't even know how young adults, in that matter, older adults, because we're just as bad, how do you even date anymore? You get in the car, you know, back in the day where I grew up, you know, if you really thought this might be the girl, you know, you skipped McDonald's and you took her to Pizza Hut. We don't even have Pizza Hut you can go to now. You got to order it online. So, you know, what do you do? They don't even let you sit down anymore. I don't know where you go out on a date. But not only that, but how do you all even talk to each other? You get in the car and you go, hey, is your seat comfortable? You get an emoji. So everything is changing in our relationships, not only in marriage and family. What about parents? The new term. I don't even know what this means, but I hear it all the time. Do I helicopter parent my kids? Apparently, that means just like hover over them. I don't know. Whatever that means. Or do I take a hands-off approach and let them run wild? Why do I continually argue with my spouse? We don't even talk. So there's so many changes that are taking place in our culture, in our society today, and they're having a negative impact in our dating, sex, marriage, parenting. All of these create a dangerous landscape that we live in. I believe, and I want to share with you today, that God has solutions. And God has treasures of truths that he wants to make your lives better. And we're going to help you unpack and decipher the confusing landscape that we live in this sermon series. So you guys ready? Let's dive into it. Here's the first one that we're going to talk about today. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah 55:8. And we're going to look this morning at how do we break the code of godly friendships, breaking the godly friendship code. Maybe that's the way I should say it. And we're going to talk to you guys today about the first one. Isaiah 55:8 is going to be sort of not only our foundational verse for the entire sermon series, so I'm going to unpack it a little bit deeper here this morning. We're not going to get through this message. I've got four principles that I want to teach you about friendship. You're going to discuss some of those here tonight, but know this, we're only going to get to one today, all right? So we're going to get out of here. But we're going to come back next week, and we're going to apply the other three into dating and how they impact those of you that are single. So again, just a little reason why you guys want to come back. So today, I am still struggling. I apologize. The day before, so last week, preached three services. Sunday afternoon after Easter, a little tired, but drove to Illinois. My parents have Alzheimer's, and so I needed to go see them before I left for Cuba. So Monday and Tuesday, I drove to Illinois, visited with them, drove back Tuesday, got in at 3 o'clock, went straight to the clinic. They diagnosed me with, I want to say this right, strep throat. Blend said I've never had it before. So the day before I leave for Cuba, I get diagnosed with, you know, that, and take a bunch of pills and get on the plane and say, I don't have time for this, and go. God was good. Thank you guys for your prayer. So still a little bit of residual effects of that. I apologize for my voice here this morning. So as we're talking about friendships, I know you're sitting here thinking, you know what, friendships, well, that's just an elementary, you know, that, you know, I listen, the last thing I need to know, I've got friends, I'm cool, I'm hip, I've got a lot of friends. The truth of the matter is that's not true. Most of us struggle, and hear me this morning. Everything else we're going to teach, I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Everything else we're going to talk from gender identity, parenting, marriage, Look at me. This is key. It all hinges on friendships. What? Yes, your friendships impact your marriage, your dating, the way you raise your kids. Friendship is paramount biblically to understanding and the key to unlocking all these other healthy relationships. You also need to know that the group of friends, now the world will agree with that, what I just said, but what we will contend with, secondly, that if you find the right kind of friends, the kind of friends that we're going to teach you that God wants to give you in your life, and here's the difference between the, remember, the world's codes versus God's codes. God's codes want you to choose friends that come into your life, Christian friends in the church, that are going to hold you accountable. And we're going to tell you what that looks like. And we're going to give you avenues that are happening in this very church of how you can find, because your friends should be not only there to support you, but hold you accountable and ask you questions. Are you studying the Bible? Are you praying? And what is God's perspective in your heart, in your life? And we're going to help you find those kind of friends that God wants you to have, the secret to unlocking these healthy relationships. And so God wants you to find people in your life that will be a blessing to you. And you got to realize this morning, especially when it comes to your friends. You see, your friends are the key to some of you finding that person that you want to date and marry for the rest of your life. In high school, I dated some of the girls that didn't go to church and that didn't hang out with the church friends where I grew up at. And thankfully, I got out of those relationships, and they were not healthy and they were not good. And then I met a girl that was like one of my best friends, rode to school with her on the bus, and it was horrible because my mom was the bus driver, so it was extremely embarrassing. But there was this little girl that that Stanley, I knew she was cute and stuff, but she was always dating all the other cool guys, and whatever. And so finally, she had broke up. A guy went out on her and stuff, and so sort of slipped in there. Michael, as cool and suave as I am, and so I asked her, we're having a church bowling party, and so I said, I can bowl pretty good. You want to go? And next thing I know, we were at Pizza Hut, and the rest is we got married. My point is this. You need to be careful who your friends are, because I would never found the love of my life if I had not went to the church friends and hung out with people that God would bless me with in my life. And by the way, the opposite happens when you don't look for friends in the right places. Somebody should write a song about that. Let me tell you a story. There was a preacher that had a parrot. And the preacher had a parrot. It was a male parrot. And this parrot loved to cuss. And so it was a talking parrot. And so every time the preacher would have somebody come into his house, they'd open up the door and the parrot would go, blankety, blank, blank, blank. The parrot would just cuss the head off. And so the preacher's like, this is embarrassing. The preacher can't have a cussing parrot. So he decided to announce to the church that he's going to put it down, Matt. You're going to kill the bird. And so there was this dear, sweet, gray-haired little lady in the church. And she was so loving and so kind. And she said, oh, don't shoot the bird. She goes, I have a female parrot that needs a friend. And so you give me your male parrot, and my bird, she's a good bird. She, you know, we've raised her right, and she prays every day at our house. And so the preacher says, fine, whatever, and just take it. So she takes the cussing male bird, and she puts it in her house, and sure enough, she puts it in the cage with her female praying parrot. And so immediately the preacher's parrot gets in there and he goes, blankety blank, how about give me a kiss, baby? You know, and just right there. And so the female parrot of the righteous lady, she turns around to the new male parrot. She goes, and God has answered my prayers. I'm just telling you, what you think you need doesn't always go well. Didn't work out for her either. The truth of the matter is that our friends are going to influence us in good ways and in bad ways. And so I want to share with you today, one of the most fascinating chapters of the Bible is found in Isaiah 54 and Isaiah 55. And so let me set the context before we read the holy text today. What happens in Isaiah 54, and this is important, not only for the national stuff that's going on today, but it's important for your home and your life. In Isaiah 54, 55, the nation of Israel, now listen to this, think about where we're at this morning, 2024. The nation of Israel has sinned and forgotten about a holy God. And they've paid a terrible price. The Babylonians have come in and destroyed their civilization. They have torn down the temple, and they have exiled all of the young people. So God says to the nation of Israel, if you and I were God, I'm done with you. You failed me, and I quit. But you see, God loved them so much that despite their sin and depravity, he says to them after a season of judgment, I still love you. And I'm offering you grace and mercy. And I'm going to give you an invitation to come back. To come back and set up my table. And I will restore you. And I will feed you. And I will bless you again. And he's going to give them a choice to come back in to relationship with Almighty God. Oh, are you hearing me this morning? I don't know where you're at. And I don't know the hell you've been through in your life this week, this month. Are you listening to me this morning? I don't know how much you have ran from God. I don't care how deep a hole you've went into. I don't care how dark your life has gotten. But I want to tell you today that we have a new covenant. His name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and mine. He rose again on the third day. And today, Jesus is inviting us into the invitation to be fed by him. Come back home. Come back home. I will take care of you. Amen. And so in that context, I love this passage. Almighty God, just as Jesus does to you and I today, offers us an invitation to come back to relationship with him. Old Testament scholar Dr. Westerman says it like this. The bride is restored, talking about the context of Isaiah 55. The city is rebuilt, and they must come. An invitation is expressed in the strongest terms to those who have no resources in themselves. Are you getting this idea? Look at me this morning. This American idea, that you got to pull yourself up, and I got to clean myself up to come back to God. I got to get everything right. It's a lie from hell. And it won't work in raising your kids. It won't work in your marriage. And it won't work in your relationship with Jesus. These people had nothing. They were broken. They were wounded. There was no answers. There was no new ideas. There was no creativity. They could not fix what was broken. Their only hope was Jesus. And so that's the best place you and I can be in today, is when we come to him, and it's all on him. So we're being offered in this new covenant in Isaiah 55, just like they were in their day and time. And Bible scholars, I'm going to relate to you in just a second, the New Testament version of Isaiah 55. But before we do, let's read this together. Here's the key verse for our sermon series, key verse for today. Isaiah 55:8. I want us to say it together because I want you to memorize this scripture. And I want it to begin, look at me this morning. I want it to begin to change how you view your relationships. I want you to compare this scripture with the world's codes versus God's codes. And now look at me. And it needs to change even your personalities. Because you think you know what you're doing. Church, the greatest thing that can happen in the church is you all think you know how to do your life. You think you know how to raise your kids. You think you know how to do marriage. You think you know how to date. Folks, your ways are not his ways. Let's say it together on the count of three. One, two, three. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Wow. I love what happens in Isaiah 55. Noted Old Testament scholars that are right will identify that Jesus is giving us a parallel version of Isaiah 55 in Luke 14. If you remember in Luke 14, one of the great things that happens in that story, go home and read it this afternoon, is a rich king invites all of the leadership, the nobles, the rabbis, the well-educated, to come to a great banquet and to celebrate and to have a good time, and he will feed them. And you read Luke 14, and you know what happens in the story. You remember? And they all decide, no, we don't need your banquet. We're fine. We don't need your wealth. We're okay. And they reject the king's invitation. And you remember in Luke 14, the context is simply this. And oh, is this pertinent to the church and the world today? Is Jesus in sarcasm and in confrontation, not sweet nicety-nicety, Jesus is speaking to a crowd of rabbis, Sheldon. He's speaking to the religious elite who are rejecting him and who don't like him. And he says to them, he says, you are the people who are doing your ways, not my ways. You're not willing to admit that you're wrong and you need the king's help. Your personalities, your way of thinking, and you refuse to come in to my fellowship and my relationship. And they're angry, and by the way, they will kill him because of this. And you remember what happens at the end of Luke 14? What does he do? Jesus says, if this group, the religious church people, will not come and fellowship with me, then go into what? The highways and the hedges and get the lame, the poor, and the hungry, and the needy, and invite them into the banquet, and I will take care of those who want me. Wow. Wow. This is where the churches went wrong. We've been focused on trying to get the powerful and to make the, you know, all those things. Jesus goes after people like us who are broken, wounded, and he wants to help those who are hungry for him. So we were in Cuba. I'm studying over the sermon series one day there at the seminary. It's a pretty cool day to be sitting, no, of course, no air conditioning, but to be sitting in a cafeteria and looking out and seeing the palm trees and sweating, but, and just thinking about this sermon series. And then I asked Tanner to put a collection of pictures together to give you a visual of what these people go through. And so this is sort of daily life in Cuba. And abject poverty, they make $20 a month. Socialism worked really well, by the way. And so these people, this is the way they've lived for 60 years. They literally step back. I could tell you, and I could sit here for an hour, and Tanner will agree, and there's no way. You're not going to understand what we're trying to tell you. John and Jeannie, Jonathan, Hannah had never been. They've been in this church, and they've heard all the stories, you know, dozens of missions, and you just got to be there. But here's the interesting part. And so as we get to this worship scene, these people have nothing. There's no cars. When you go to their church, look at me. You all can frustrate it. Now, thankfully, our church, what's going on here is far different. But back in the day, and so get to the scene where just the church people. Go to that next one, Chris, if you will. And so one more slide. And so I want you to just watch their work. So these people, there's no cars outside of here. Maybe a horse, maybe a goat, but literally, these people walk to church. Now, this service that you're looking at is on a Friday morning, Mark. You all get frustrated and go, you know what? I mean, seriously, count how many times you've been in church. How many times is your backside in church and worship? Oh, but I was doing this, or I was busy, and I, this. Are you serious? These people showed up on a Friday morning. a Friday morning and packed the place out. This particular church and the pastor, Ariel, is ministering, and it was a game changer for me. I preached in that church that morning. I'm not even worthy to stand in this dude's pulpit. Everyone in this room is disabled. Everyone in this room came in either carried or with a limp or had some kind of mountain enormity in their life. Matter of fact, Ariel's own son is going to be having surgery on his back so he can walk and be normal in Chicago. Flew him up this past week. This pastor shepherds nothing but disabled people who pack out a house by walking, crawling, carried in to a church on a Friday morning. And you want to tell me how hard it is for you to get your John Brown self up? The average church person goes to church 1.2 times per month. How many times have you been in church worship this past month? I want to ask you the question, are you hungry to meet with God? Are you hungry to be fed at the King's table? Jesus is inviting us into healthy relationships, and the only way you're going to unlock the code of being the kind of dad, the kind of wife, the kind of mom that you need to be, finding the person you should date, discovering what your identity is by worshiping the King. It happens in His house and in His presence. And so I want to say to you, God wants to transform His people by reminding them that our ways are not His ways. The theological centerpiece of this invitation, so this whole sermon series is about a choice. Are you guys going to choose to unlock God's codes or to continue to live by your personality and world codes? Dr. Danny Akin says it this way. This is what we're going to discuss tonight in Connect Groups. The invitation of Isaiah 55:8 summarized theologically. To accept His gracious invitation to the feast, we must abandon our ways and our thoughts. The mind of the flesh is death and hostile to God. In order to come in from the cold, the world's codes, we must repent, forsaking our old way of thinking, and receive His ways. Only then will God have compassion on us and unlock the broken relationship codes in your life, in mine. All right, I want to share with you four principles, practical application to this text today about helping break the code of godly friendships in your life and mine. And again, we're only going to cover one of them this morning. Number one, how you meet new friends matters. How you meet new friends matters. What's interesting when we look at friendships in the world code and God's codes, both start at the same place. Recent surveys and research, the world backs this up. This is not religion, this is just statistics from science. Sorry, good grief, I'm struggling. 61% of Americans declared in a recent survey that they are lonely. When you get to ages 18 to 25, it skyrockets. Americans are lonely people, and we are struggling with unhealthy relationships with all of these billions of people on the planet. It is crazy that the most contributing factor to disease, according to science, is loneliness. Now, I'm going to get a little controversial here, and I don't want to offend you and make you all get mad or whatever and don't write me, but the truth of the matter is that COVID accelerated this. And I'm just going to share this with you, and again, we can argue and debate, and you can have your opinion, that's fine. But when the government tells us to shut down, and we're already lonely people, and when they tell us our kids cannot go to school, they're struggling with the highest suicide rate from the pandemic on. We get serious about this thing. Loneliness is killing us. Scientifically speaking, I'm not saying from religious or political standpoint, I'm just telling you the science. Doctors will tell us that our health conditions of diabetes, obesity, Alzheimer's, heart disease, cancer are all contributing factor of loneliness is accelerating the death and dying in our country. The emotional connection and the loneliness only accelerates the disease in our bodies, the suicide rates, and here's how we're countering that. Do you know what our government and what society and the world's codes, let me go there so I don't get you all upset. The world's codes are telling you how to deal with this loneliness problem that is contributing to all your other health issues. You know how we're responding to this is what you're unlocking in your life and mine. You're numbing the pain of your loneliness by getting drunk, drugs. You distract yourself every night. 60%, doesn't matter whether you're in church or not. These are secular statistics, social statistics. 61% of Americans, both men and women, are addicted to pornography because they have unhealthy sexual relationships. And so rather than dealing with the problems in their own homes and lives, they turn to the numbness of being able to do what they want to do. Remember, your ways are not his ways, and you try to get some kind of numbing satisfaction out of a lack of relationship that you just have the act rather than a healthy relationship. And guys and ladies, there are consequences to your choices. We are trying to stop the pain. We binge watch our favorite shows on Netflix. I did not say that right in the first word, Brandon. Something else came up, and I hope I still have a job. But we binge watch our favorite shows. How many hours do you spend a night on your phone? You don't talk to your spouse. You don't parent your kids because we're just numbing ourselves because of the hard work of what it takes to have healthy relationships. The world's code versus God's code. And so here's what it comes down to. The truth is there is a consequence to our actions and to our decisions. And sometime we have to decide which direction we want to go. The invitation of Isaiah 55:8 is to recognize what I'm doing with just running from one idea to the next has consequences. What I need to discover is that my ways are not God's ways. Are you owning that? I don't have this on my outline. I should have, but I want you to write this down. Let me just say it. I added this later. Don't just write this down. Don't just do whatever and let whoever walk into my life, but decide intentionally. Let me say that again. Don't just do whatever and let whoever walk into my life, but decide intentionally how I will meet new friends. Decide intentionally how I will meet new friends. Listen to me. Your friendships matter. There are many of you who are in abusive relationships. Look at me. You're in abusive relationships. And you won't get help or leave because your fear of being lonely overrides your good judgment. I've lived this out with my mom. I know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, the world's codes is damning and destroying people's lives physically, emotionally, and spiritually because we're terrified. There are many of you who will choose and have chosen to go out with that one guy, that wrong girl, because you're sick and tired of being lonely. Don't raise your hands, but there could go up all over this room who made a bad choice, who made a stupid choice, and you went with that one person because you were just sick and tired of being lonely. And you messed up your life. This is real. And so what is God's answers? I am so thankful that we're in a place this morning where God wants to make a difference in your life. Proverbs 12:26 says this, "One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." I want to tell you this morning, as we wrap all of this up, that God wants to make a difference in your relationships. God wants to make it better, and he wants to help you quit listening to the lonely fears, the world's codes, and accept his codes. And God wants to send good friends into your life to encourage you. And you just got to know that who you pick as friends, they're going to help you be held accountable and make better decisions for your life. And listen, God wants to fill your loneliness with good friendships and relationships. Can I tell you a funny story about that? All right, before I lose you, I'm going to give you two applications and we'll finish up. So we were in Cuba this past week, as you've heard by now, and so we went one day to visit a nursing home. And this nursing home is, it's unlike anything you've ever seen. The equipment that they have, like the seats that the people sit on to go to the bathroom, are wooden. The hospital beds are like out of the 1940s or 50s movies, the old white metal beds. Rinkety. I mean, the mattress is like just a piece of foam. It is unbelievable. And these people are crippled, they're elderly, and there's no real social network to take care of the elderly. So this is a Free Will Baptist nursing home. They're just doing it out of the church that we help sponsor. The nurses there, you ladies, I know y'all, you know, appreciating men that are nurses in our room today, but they make $30 a month there. $30 a month. The CNAs are paid whatever they have left over. That's it. So we're in this nursing home, and we're just trying to be a blessing. So we're walking around, and, you know, we're just, you know, trying to, I mean, we come around a corner, and so Sam, I'm just like, you know, oh, man, these, you know, and there, I come across this little lady, and she's just crippled. Her arms are drawn up, and she's in a pitiful condition. The circumstances, the healthcare there, and she just is hurting. And so I just lean down, and I just want to speak a word over James, you know, and just 30 seconds, just, you know, bless her, do whatever I can, compassionate. And so I reach down, and she goes into a seizure. And she just goes, ah! She starts screaming in my face. And you know me, I'm not used to being around that, and I'm not good with that. And so I freak out, and I go, ah! You know, and I yell back at her, and I know it's terrible, and all that. And then I was like, ah! And she's like, and she's just still going worse. And then I realized that she's barefoot. I stepped on her foot. I'm just standing, Brooks, on her foot. And so she's not really having a seizure. She's in pain. And she's just like, and she can't talk and tell me to get off. So I'm just literally just standing on this poor crippled woman's foot. And you know, me being me, and I go, sorry. And I run off. And so I run to our team. You know, this is the godly church people, friends. And I'm like, oh, I feel so bad. I'm horrible and all that. And you know what my team goes? You are. And they blah, and they start laughing at me and making fun of me. You need good friends. I need anybody to be a friend at this point. And it was so bad, Brooks, when I went back through, you know, I just went up to apologize to her, and she just goes, ah! You know, and so I just moved on. It was over at that point. You need to pray for your pastor. You need good friends in your life that'll come along and encourage you. I want to close by giving you the avenue. This is so exciting to me. Because how many times have you heard a sermon over the years? How many times have I done this? Where we guilt you and we tell you how bad you are, and we never give you options about how to improve and how to do it right. This is what I love about Connect Church. We don't do that crud anymore. Is we're going to help you discover and unlock God's answers to the problems that you're facing. I want you to get out your notes, and I'm going to give you two ways that you and help you discover how you meet your friends matters. And here's the avenues that Connect Church is offering you to find friends into your life. Number one, start or join a D group. Start or join a D group. Every week, we take 90 minutes to, every other week, we take 90 minutes to meet with a group of people. We have 36 current D groups that are going in our church, that are going on in our church. And here's what we do in a D group, a discipleship group, is that we meet, now get this, every other week with about three or four other people, and we study the Word of God. We study the Bible, and we discover who Jesus is. Now here's the difference, the way that we used to do church versus discipleship groups. You would go to a class and you would have this well-educated teacher that would tell you Bible truths and you could memorize verses, and then you didn't live any differently for the most part when you went home. Here's what we do in discipleship groups. You do a hear journal. You get one chapter of the Bible, you study it and you apply it, and then you come together every other week and you sit down and nobody is lecturing to you. Nobody is the teacher of you. You come together and you share what God has taught you. God becomes our teacher. The Holy Spirit becomes our leader. And we come together with three or four people. And whether you're a mechanic and you didn't graduate from high school, or you did, I don't care, or whether you're a professor, it doesn't matter. The same Holy Spirit can teach you about who God is. And so you don't need more knowledge. You need to apply the Word and get together with men and women and say, are you reading your Bible? What did you get out of it? And you spend 90 minutes sharing how God spoke to you in the last week and a half. Now, who doesn't want to do that? That, and what you're going to wind up doing is you're going to bring your family problems to the D group meeting. And they're going to pray over you, and they're going to encourage you and say, you know what? I used to have kids. This is what we did. You're going to bring your marriage problems to your D group. You're going to bring your work problems to your D group. And instead of just letting show up to church on Sunday, instead of hearing a nice, wonderful sermon, you're going to get down and you're going to have people put hands on you and pray for your marriage, pray for your parenting, pray for your job, pray for the health issues in your life. And when you live life together, the answers that you're looking for in every avenue are going to be solved by the Holy Spirit revealing to you who God is. You don't need a great teacher. You don't need a great book. You need a great God, and you need to come together and study Him. That's all discipleship is. It's God speaking into your groups. And if we do discipleship right, that's all it is. Number two is you need to join or lead a connect group. Put yourself in a place where you become and meet other friends. Tonight and every Sunday night, about 9 months out of the year, we will have 20 plus small groups that will meet tonight. And you know what they're going to talk about? They're going to talk with about five or six questions about this message. Can you imagine the benefit of your life if you were to meet with 10 or 12 other adults, free childcare? We're going to provide the childcare for you, and you're going to have an adult discussion and talk about what God spoke to you about in the worship service today. And you're going to relate it to 10 or 12 other people, and you're going to apply what you learn and talk about that, and then pray over each other and hold each other accountable. That's where you're going to find the friends that you're looking for. These are the friends and the relationship. So what we're doing is offering you a choice. You need to go find Andrew today. Call Taylor, meet with Andrew, get signed up for a D group, get signed up for a connect group. Folks, we're not just telling you you need friends. We're offering you an avenue and a choice to find these friends here in our church. Somebody say amen. We don't just guilt you. We give you the opportunity to find the Christian friends you need to pour into your life. Is it all going to be perfect? No, because your lives are not perfect. And what we do is we take the messy and we bring Jesus into the messy of our everyday lives. And then we learn to let God help us become more like Him. And so when this happens in your life and mine, this is where we join and discover that God is providing the answers that we need. I want to remind you and I this morning of what that looks like. We have a guy by the name of Eric Cooley that comes to our church, him and his Kayla, and they come in. They're part of our connect group for Blaine and I. And This is a bag of, empty bag of rice. And this was on Amato's church pulpit and around his altar. And Amato, some of you have heard, a Cuban pastor. He's going to be here in August, and he's preached here several times before. And he pastors a church that I've had the privilege of preaching in his church in there in Havana. And so I preached there this past Wednesday night, and I was giving out a bit. Our folks will tell you it was, that service was incredible. There are people hungry for God. And but these bags of rice, when you live in a country where you have no food, a bag of rice is a game changer. When your kids are starving and no medicine, a bag of rice saves their lives. And in this service, they had these bags, and they came up, and the Cubans in that church wrote their names on here, and I want you to get this, to say thank you to you. Because if you haven't heard this, about 12 months ago, we were sharing in our Connect groups, Belinda and I, in our home, friends. Eric and Kayla was in the room. We're just sharing and praying over Cuba that night. And I told him about their lack of food. And Eric, the Holy Spirit, because this is what Connect and discipleship groups do, he doesn't ever do this if he just comes to church. Friendships. So Eric has the Holy Spirit speak to him in Connect group, and he says, hey, I own a record business. Sam's just had a shipment of rice that got in a wreck. He said, I own a record business. I hauled in the trailer. Three quarters of that semi-trailer is full of rice that Sam's won't take now because it's been in a wreck. He said, they told me to just bury it in the back. And he said, but it's totally perfectly good food. He said, would the Cubans be interested in it? And I said, let me make a call. And right there in my home, Kevin, I called Gary. The next thing we knew within a week is we had a semi-full, almost full, of rice that was being shipped to Cuba out of Connect Church, totally paid for, donated, and giving to a semi-truck full of rice that was shipped to Cuba. And they signed this paper. I'm going to give this to Eric. And I just want you to know, this is what God will do in your life. This is how God will use you. Give God a round of applause. What an amazing way that God wants to use you guys. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you stand with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the invitation, the opportunity that we have to come and hear about you and your word today. Father, we love you and we thank you for your ways are not our ways. And Father, we just saw living visual proof that if we'll learn to be around Christian friends, we'll learn to be around these relationships that you want us to be around, you're going to use us to do extraordinary things. And Father, there's a lot more that we're going to share in the weeks to come about what it means to have a relationship with you. But Father, this begins here this morning. And if there's one of you here today that doesn't know Jesus as your Savior, that invitation that I gave you earlier in the message of how to be saved, I want to extend that opportunity for you to come forward now to an old-fashioned church altar and to give your life to Christ. And then maybe, just maybe, some of you need to come this morning and you need to be like the king that gave the invitation in Luke 14. Or Jesus, or the Father gave in Isaiah 55:8. You're broken, you're hungry, and you're in need. Would you come today and say, Lord, I'm sick of doing my relationship by the world's codes. I come broken and wounded. My ways are not your ways. Father, teach me how to overcome my temptation to do the world's codes and my personality. Give me a hunger. Show me the secret to your ways. Would you come as we sing?